Please turn in your Bibles this morning to the 145th Psalm. Quite a theme going through the song service this morning, right up to that beautiful special by Brother Willie. We're thankful to the Lord for that blessing this morning. And we're going to give the Lord the highest praise this morning. There's your title. Not as in something specific that we're going to do to give praise to God. It's just our lives in general. He giving Him praise. He's worthy of the highest praise. We have been praising the Lord for almost a month now on Sunday nights. Quite appropriate with Thanksgiving coming up. Giving thanks to the Lord, giving praise to the Lord. We're basically saying the same thing by these two things. So we have been talking about praising the Lord often. It's something that we're to do. I don't know how often we relate praise as a daily thing like we would daily reading of our Bibles, praying to the Lord, telling someone about Jesus. That we all talk about those things daily that we're to do, but giving praise to God, that is extremely important for our spiritual health. He's worthy of all of our praise. What we have this morning in this 145th Psalm is a psalm of praise from David to the Lord. Many psalms that God used David for, he praised the Lord. We might say that this would be number one on the list of the highest praise that David gives the Lord. I would love to go through the entire psalm, but we would hit every point in such a short amount of time. I don't know how much we could take away from it all. I've done that before, and it didn't work out too well. So we're going to park in on verse 7 this morning, but let's not forget that this entire psalm is a psalm of praise from David to the Lord. You find in verse 1 right there before you in your Bibles that David says, "I will extol thee." You also see in that same verse that David says, "I will bless thy name forever and ever." Roll right into the second verse, and David says, "I will praise thy name forever and ever." Verse 3 says, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised." In verse 4, it says, "One generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts." Verse 5 says, "I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works." And we could go through it all. Just let's go to the end there in verse 21 where David says, "My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever." David has an ultimate passion here in the praise of the Lord flowing out of our mouths. That's the desire that he has for himself, that not only would there be praise internally to give to God, but that we would speak praise. It's quite a foul environment in the air. There's a lot of air pollution verbally in this world. We ought to clean up the air by praise given to the Lord. And it's to be often, as we've shared. And this morning, we're to give Him highest praise from all of our lives. Today, when we gather to give thanks on Thursday, for the rest of our lives, give Him praise. How do we get to that place of verbally giving the Lord praise, of our cup running over and it just pouring out of us in praise to the Lord? Well, David doesn't just say, utter praise abundantly. Let's consider a few things that's going on here. Verse 7, our main text for the morning, David says, "They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness." You know, what do we keep in our minds? What do we hold on to that we don't have to write down? We don't have to write a word of remembrance. We don't have to record it. They are just things that stick with us. You know, to have something in the mind, it takes knowing it. And to know something first requires taking special note of something. You know, how could we call to mind something we've never taken seriously, something that we've never retained? I believe we would all agree that we would not be able to call to mind something that we really don't know, something we have not taken note of and allowed to make an impression upon our hearts. We need to be very sensitively aware in this life of what is said, of what is done, of everything in life. Because there are things that God wants to make an impression upon us with, and they just pass many of us right by and we miss it. Because there are those things that will stick, and we will never forget. There are truths, there are powerful events in life that really impress our hearts and persuade our hearts. And there are things that we shouldn't be able to forget even if we tried to. If we'll take note in everything said, in every event of life, the goodness of God is there. God has intentions for good in everything that happens. All things work together for good to those who love the Lord, to those who are the called according to His purpose. If we'll take note of these things, everything in life, we're going to see the goodness of God eventually in it. God's caring hand goes before every one of us. And He has an amazing way of taking difficult things and bringing good about it as a result. There are many who are not taking note, and they're not seeing it. And it's passing them right by. How about something as simple as food on the table and clothes on the back? I sat down for a little snack with somebody, a pizza one day, and bowed my head and got ready to ask a blessing on the food, and they said, "Do we really have to thank God for the snack of pizza?" I said, "Only if you're thankful for it, you don't have to." How about those little things day to day that He supplies in our lives? The governing hand of God, the generous hand of God providing for you and I. And some don't see it. Let not that be us who neglects to take note of God's goodness. There are those who utter the goodness of God all the time, and it's so encouraging, it's so impressing to me. Then there are those who would actually blame God, who would say, "God's not listening, God doesn't care, He doesn't have time for me." How about this? God must lack compassion. People have charged that blame to God before. We can hardly imagine sometimes someone criticizing a wise, godly people whenever God Himself is criticized. The ways of God are criticized. There is neglect of God's instruction by those who would profess to know Him, saying there's a better way to do this or that. They claim the true God in their thinking, in their words, but the thinking and the actions show to be different. There's an adopting of a false God in many things. Let us be careful. not to get off track of the one true and living God and His true word, His instructions to us, even His rebukes to us. Thank the Lord for His chastening upon our lives, because He lines us out and we need it and we deserve it. His rebukes are good to us. God's rebukes are full of grace and compassion and mercy within our lives. Always do such praise from us. And He's molding us. And we grow to love the things that God loves. And we grow to despise the things that God despises. It's a great joy to take note of God, of who He is, of all He's done, of knowing that right now in this present moment that God is working for good. Every aspect of God, it is good, and we are to acquaint ourselves with God in every single way. Consider what God has made. To stop and be able to give praise to God, just consider what God has made. Think of the sun, the moon, the stars, the mountains and the valleys, the rivers, the ocean, the sea, the grass, the flowers, the trees. All He has made. Creation preaches a sermon saying that the Lord is real, that He is good. How about the fact that He's made us? He made us, He lost us, and then He bought us back again by the shed blood of His own Son, who He sacrificed, who He had to substitute in our place for all of our sins. The Son of God has redeemed us. The Holy Spirit of God drew us. We thirsted. Has anybody ever thirsted in here? Have you spiritually thirsted for the Lord in need of His salvation? And He saved you from all of your sins. And it doesn't stop there. Then He dwells in us. And He continues in us. He empowers us to walk with Him. He walks in us. He walks through us. He helps us in our trouble. Salvation is a miracle that God Almighty has given to you and I. It has happened in our lives by way of the miraculous work of God. Let us take note of our Creator. Let us take note of our Savior. And let us give Him the highest praise that we can be for His undeniable goodness. Give Him praise in the highest. We not only see the goodness of the Lord in salvation, though, and in creation, we see the goodness of the Lord in our suffering. Okay? Sometimes sickness comes along, and God just allows that to happen so that He can show His goodness through healing. Sometimes death comes along, and even in the midst of that kind of suffering, God's doing something good always. A man passed away, and his two kids, son and daughter, they had not spoken in decades. When their father passed away, they came together after decades, and they forgave one another, and they walked in a beautiful relationship as brother and sister after that. I'm telling you, in the midst of our suffering, that God is up to doing amazing good things. The Lord deserves the highest praise in the most terrible storms of life that we can go through. I had a friend send me a quote this week. I was thinking about this message and working on the message, and all of a sudden I get a little something on my phone. Sometimes I don't look at it until after I finish studying for hours, but this time I picked it up and looked at it in the middle of studying. And that little quote said, "My dear friend, when grief presses you to the dust, worship there." My friend had no idea what I'm going through and what I'm studying here this past week. And he sends me that just on time. And where maybe I wouldn't absorb that as well, or maybe I would absorb it differently before, I sit there and I read, "My dear friend, when grief presses you to the dust, worship there." And I had to say amen, because he's worthy of the highest praise. He's worthy of the highest praise in the suffering that we go through in life. Praise him in the comfort of your home. Praise him in the calamity of your wilderness. Praise him when you're just clearly experiencing the freedom that you have in Jesus Christ. And praise him when you feel like you're in bondage. Praise him when you're in strength. Praise him when you're in weakness. Praise him when the waters are calm. And praise him when the sea just seems to be raging in your life. Give him the highest praise, not based on our condition, but based on who he is all the time in all things that we go through. Give him the highest praise. Take note. Take note of what's going on in life. Take note of what's being said. Take note of what you're going through, and be sensitive to it. And it may be in that moment, it may be down the road, but you're going to see that God was up to something good, no matter how difficult it may seem. When things seem to be ruining us, God comes to our rescue and he restores us. When something comes along that seems to be chipping away at our lives, God can give it back and then some. He's faithful. He repairs the damages and blesses on top of those damages. A tragedy happens in your occupation or some sort, and you go home and you have closer time with a spouse than you've had in months or a year over something difficult. Take note of the goodness of God in all things every day of our lives, so we can know, so we can not miss it and know how great he is and give him the highest praise in all things. He's given us his salvation, and he has put us in his church. I almost feel like I almost didn't make a decision for that after I was saved. Somebody said, "You need to be baptized next." I didn't know much about the things of God, and I said, "I'm ready." And I knew I was coming into God's church. As one of his children, he was receiving me as his child and placing me in his church. He has taken our filthy sins, and in place he has given us a righteous white robe of righteousness. Can we give him praise? We were the enemy of God, and he has ripped the veil. And he has made the way open that we can come boldly before the throne of God with thanksgiving, with praise, and with our requests to God. He has done this for us. He has given us access to him all the time. When we take note of all the good that the Lord is always doing, whether we see it or not, then we're able to have a mind and a heart that's full of words that exalt the Lord, that give adoration to God, because he calls for the highest praise, and we can give him the highest praise. We need to be able to take note. Take note of the things that God has done. It has to start there. And when we take note of what God has done, then we can think back. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness. May the goodness of God in all he is and all he's done be burned into our minds, be stamped into our minds, be pressed so closely, be locked into our hearts. There are so many things that are seated in our memory, good and bad. There are things that people won't let go of that continue a constant bitterness in their lives. There's a terrible self-affliction that goes on because people won't let go of things. And that's terrible in and of itself and what it does to us. But when there are such things that we hold on to that are so negative, the most terrible thing about it is it crowds out the goodness of God that our hearts and minds ought to be focused on. When so much praise is due Him, may we be careful of what we take note of. Let us be ever so sensitive to take note of the good things that God Almighty is doing, so that when we think back, we haven't forgotten what God has done. As great as God is, there's to be a great memory in the life of His children of all that He is. Of all that He has been active in the lives of people over. When we store up our minds with the words of God, when we take the words of life that God is, we can think back with the highest praise. What we hear of the things of God, let us drink it up. Let us get full of it and let it saturate our lives to where there's nothing but praise to be given, where we think of nothing but the goodness of God. There is a very unhealthy and sometimes fictional thinking that goes on when we're not invested in what God has said. You know, this isn't just something good to do to saturate our minds with the things of God. It's something we must do because our minds are going to be saturated with something. So we need to fill up on Him. We desperately need His Word because our minds are going to fill up on unhealthy, bad things that are not good for you and I if we don't soak up God's Word and be saturated in His goodness. We should not just read His Word and study His Word to teach it. We shouldn't just read and study His Word to disprove the teacher. We shouldn't just read and study His Word to debate with the cults. We're to embrace the Scriptures. We're to hold them and know them in such a way that we know the goodness of God and the clarity that He is so worthy of our highest praise, that this would be something ongoing in life, that this would be something in the pressures of the day on the job that would still overwhelm us through everything we go through. There's no trial that is so great that it's greater than God. How about several weeks ago when God gave us quite a few consecutive weeks of baptizing new believers, and we sit here and we saw a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and that someone had believed on Him. And we take that ordinance, we take that picture, and it makes us think upon Christ and what He has done for us. How about the Lord's Supper and what a picture that is for us of the broken body of the Lord Jesus and His shed blood for us his children. Oh, how we think on so great a Savior who suffered for us and took our place. It was you and I who deserved to suffer for those sins. It was our sins. It wasn't his. But he stepped in our place and he suffered for us. We need to do this in remembrance of me, the Bible says. We need to think back. We need to have a memory of these things that God has done for you and I. It can't be stressed enough, because, you know, most spiritual battles, they start in the mind. And a lot of them, there's nothing to them. There's just a spiritual warfare going on. And our untrained, if God forbid, but unspiritual mind just falls right into thinking we're in a battle that we're really not even in. We need that help in the realm of our mind. When our lives are focused on giving God the highest praise and on his goodness, those little vapor battles, many of them won't even come about, because we're too consumed with God's goodness and how good he is. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." And all of those words, all of those things to think on, summarize our Lord Jesus Christ, that we would be thinking upon him and his goodness. How about this? How about our own personal experience? Our own personal experience in a relationship with Jesus Christ. I haven't thought of this little saying in a long time. If your religion has not changed your life, you need to change your religion. We received spiritual life that we were dead to when we became saved and trusted in Jesus. How about our own experience? How about those times we have been driven to our knees in prayer to the Lord? How about those times he has answered our prayer? And we know that he has answered our prayer. How about the fact that our lives are no longer the same? How about those things that statistics say cause problems and cause division in a marriage, but you've been through those things and you've had God bring your marriage closer together as a result? You know it wasn't anyone else. You know it wasn't anything else. You know it wasn't coincidence. You know it wasn't your willpower, but it was Almighty God who did that. God has used the very difficult things of life to do good. How about our own experience that we might reflect on? A memory of what God has done. How about people that God has placed in our lives? How about precious brothers and sisters that we have, that we have known? You might not agree with this, but I have one of my Bibles. I have about 13 King James Version Bibles, most of them large print. And in one of them, I write down certain names of brothers and sisters in Christ by certain verses, because God has used that man of God or that woman of God in my life to help me in some way. And when I go through that Bible and I come across that verse and that name is there also, it makes me give praise to Almighty God for being right on time. He's right on time with a little message on a phone that I need. He's right on time with someone in my life. I don't deserve it. But God gives such attention and care and love to all of us. How about a brother or sister in Christ that God sent to you in your time of need? Can we give Him praise for that? How about a place in our house? Maybe there's a certain place in your house where you hit your knees before God. And how about passing it when everything seems good? And you walk by that room, you walk by your desk chair that you've had your face planted in maybe, and you just walk by it when everything's good, but you look there and you think about prayer that God has answered. You think about tears that you have shed, and that God has those tears bottled up and He answered that prayer, and you're walking by and everything's fine, but you look at your place of prayer and it causes you to give praise to God for all the answers He's given you in your time of need that no one else could give you. Oh, how about that place in your house? How about a gift? This seems real simple, but it's impressed a lot of people upon their hearts. What about maybe a simple gift that someone has given you? And it sits there on the bookshelf. You put it right there in front of your chair and your desk where you'll be mindful of it and you'll see it. And it's not so much about the gift as the giver and the encouragement that came to your life when it was given to you. And it never gets old. You look over and over at it and you give God praise for some encouragement that was right on time in your lives. It might be, just thought about this morning in the song service, it might be a spiritual song. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I know for a fact that song is at least 18 years old, because when I first got saved, I would hear that song. Something happened in the life of my family not too long after I was saved that was difficult to deal with, and that song came on the radio, and it says, "You give and take away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." I did not know that verse in Job chapter 1 at that time. I didn't even know that. But I listened to that, and I believed that God was due praise. You give and take away. Blessed be the name of the Lord in all things. How about this in our own experience for us giving praise to God? How about our losses? In our greatest losses, the Lord is worthy of the highest praise. There are maybe things, there are definitely people that we just thought we just couldn't live without. We just did not think that we would be able to go on without this or without them. How about the way that God has kept us going? How about the way that God has amazingly filled that space in our lives? It could only be Him. We keep living and moving and having our being and able to give praise to God and say that our true and living God makes no mistakes. And we give Him praise. How about those losses that He has taken care of? We know that it was Him, and it causes us to give God the highest praise. We must take note. Don't miss it. Every day, in every situation, we must take note. And then we can think back. And then let us get to the heart of what David is getting at here, that we might speak up. Verse 7, they shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness. May this process end with opening our mouths in praise to God. Some people seem like they're scared to do that. Call me a holy roller. I'll say thank you. He's worthy of it. The speech of the child of God is going to be endlessly joyful when praise comes out of our mouth to God. It's going to be true about Him, whatever it is, if it's good, because He's good. God's truth can't be exaggerated. There's no such thing as too much praise to God. There's no such thing as too high a praise given from our lives to God. And we're to be constantly doing this. May the abundance of God's goodness in our hearts overflow in words about Him all day long. This daily thing, daily praise to God, this is a very enriching thing in our lives. And it just may be that someone's missing it, and someone may be going without it. It turns a gloomy day completely around. I kind of wish my wife would let me preach her a sermon every morning. She doesn't want that. But there are mornings together that, whether it's from a devotion she read before she went to bed, or something I read in God's Word that morning before we come together and talk, that sometimes it's just a statement of truth in some form or fashion that takes us through the day in a different way, because she opened her mouth and spoke something that was praise to God. Or maybe I did. And we embrace it, and it strengthens us through the day. One man, we're about to close, but I recall the testimony of one man years ago. And he said he got saved. He knew he trusted in Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. But his spiritual life was just putting along. Just putting along. Nothing spectacular. And he knew that that was wrong, because something spectacular had happened in his life. His spiritual life pole vaulted, according to his testimony, when he started opening his mouth about God and giving Him praise and talking about God. That was a radical change and elevation in this man's spiritual life. And David knows he needs that. He's passionate about it. And God knows that we need that, because we've been given that in His Word. May we, God's people, speak up in giving praise to God, but not cheap praise, not superficial praise. Before we speak up, let's look back. But we don't have anything to look back at if we're not taking note. Let us not miss it, what God is doing, and give Him praise for His greatness. I recall some messages kind of like this when I was lost, sitting in church. I didn't know Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And something about a message like this, to look back, to take note of all the things that God has done, walking with Him in a relationship, in your own experience, I would sit and listen to that, and I would sit there in the biggest, emptiest darkness you can imagine. I had nothing to testify about to God, because I didn't have a testimony. I had never been saved. So before we can give God His highest praise, we must come to Him the only way we can for salvation, and that is lowly, realizing that we are a sinner, and that Jesus will receive us if we will trust Him for the forgiveness of all of our sins, lowly before Christ. Is there anyone here today who was like me? And it was just emptiness. There was nothing there. Please don't walk out of here and not do something about an almighty loving God who wants to fill your life with His Son and forgive all of your sins and make you anew and make you to know that you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and there will be no doubt and no wishy-washy, no instability in your life. These things have I written unto you that ye may know that you have eternal life. Let us obey God and humble ourselves before Him and do what He would have us to do right now after we pray, or as we pray. Father God, it's so good to be in Your house this morning. It's so good to be able to meditate upon Your Word, to emphasize and help us, direct us to consider the praise that You are worthy of. All the time, Lord. Father, we humble ourselves in Your house. And Lord, Your people are praying. And we pray for that one who is empty. It's just a darkness concerning You in their past. Just like it was with me. Because they've never come to know You or experience a personal relationship with You. It was distant religion that doesn't save. And Lord, we praise You that maybe someone's realizing that this morning. And that today they would say yes to Jesus. That they would know that they need to and they can receive Him freely as Lord and Savior of their lives. And their sin debt's canceled. It's gone. And Father, for Your people, may we not only be a scripture reading people and a people who talk to You and a people who listen to You talk to them by way of Your Word, but a praising people like the early church that went about daily praising You. You're worthy of that, Lord. It's joyful in our lives. I thank You for the joy that You give when we open our mouths to glorify Your holy name. By the way, that's our purpose, Lord. We humble ourselves to consider that and contemplate that even right now in prayer, that our purpose is to glorify You. May our mouths open, and we do so, and may it be from our hearts, Lord, as we take note. Lord, as we not only take note, but we're able to think back, and then able to speak up. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If ever-